What a privilege it is to be an ambassador again. Brother Comfort has had an impact on my life since I was 6 years old. I remember him coming to Danville, Virginia, and preaching at South Hall Baptist Church there when I was 6 years old. And I believe you were trying to learn all of the scripture at that time, and that was before you had your surgery for your eyes, if I remember right, and made an impression on me as a young fellow. And I thank God for his testimony. Brother Dwight, I don't think that was quite a million nickels, was it? Half a million. All right. And Brother Comfort, also I feel a little bit like you do today. In the early years of the pastorate, I got to sing a lot. I got to sing solos. I got to be in a trio, a quartet. But as the church has grown and they've gotten much more talented people than me, I imagine I haven't sung a solo in 6 or 7 years. I'm going to have to do something about that. And the only time they let me sing now is when I sing bass for a quartet. And that's about all I get to do now. So I understand that as well. It's good to be here again. How many of you are excited about graduating in a few days? Well, I thought you might be. How many of you are excited about getting out there in the world and doing a work for God? That's great. That's wonderful. How many of you are excited about getting out and under the rules and regulations of the college? Now, I know you're not going to raise your hand. Yeah, there's a few going up out here. Oh, you should be cherishing these times you've had. You are entering the tough school now. You're entering the school where you're going to have to put everything you've learned to work. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. This is the third message I have worked on for you guys and preparing something for you. Some of the events of recent weeks have encouraged me to come to this scripture. And I want to preach to you a message this morning entitled, Behave Yourself. 1 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 15. Paul's writing Timothy, a young man in the ministry, and he gives him this admonition in verses 14 and 15. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to be able to speak to these young men and young ladies at Ambassador Baptist College. I pray this morning as we look into your word and we consider these things about how we ought to behave ourselves, I pray that these words, behave yourself, would linger in the minds of young men going out into the ministry and young ladies who are marrying preachers of the gospel, that each one of them will determine to behave themselves according to the Word of God. I pray as we look into this scripture, may the Holy Spirit of God convict my heart. May the Holy Spirit of God convict everybody's heart here today of this need for us as preachers of the gospel and as folks who are saved by the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would behave ourselves in this world that we live in, and that we would behave ourselves in the church of the living God. I pray this morning, burden our hearts. Lord, help one student this morning who may even be contemplating now doing things differently from what they have been taught. Help them to behave themselves according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you will be leaving Ambassador this week to enter into the gospel ministry full time. Some of you may be planning ordination services where some men of the gospel are going to lay their hands on you and send you forth into the gospel ministry. All of your head knowledge and everything that you've learned at Ambassador will be for naught if you don't behave yourself when you get into the ministry. You'll be rejoicing in your accomplishments this week. Some of you will be rejoicing in the freedom of moving out from rules and regulations of the college. But I want to do for you this morning like my parents did for me often. It seems like almost every time that I went out somewhere to do something, when I left home, my mother or my father, one, would say to me, "Now, behave yourself." And there were many times as I went out, there were opportunities not to behave myself. But I had three great fears in my life. I had a fear of my father, I had a great fear of my mother, and I feared God. And those three fears, I believe, kept me out of a lot of trouble in my life. As you contemplate leaving this week and graduating this week, I want to leave those two words with you. Behave yourself. Now, entering into the gospel ministry is the greatest work that you can enter into. It's better than being a politician, amen? It's better than being a construction worker, amen? Although in the ministry, as pastor, you might find yourself doing that as well. But the reason for this message this morning is too many of the fellow pastors that I know, too many missionaries that I know, too many people involved in Christian school movement are not behaving themselves like they ought to today. And so I hope this will just be an admonition to you as you go out into the ministry to remember to, what are the two words? Behave yourself. First thing I want you to see today is to behave yourself as a leader in the Church of the Living God. You are now a student at Ambassador Baptist College. You soon are going to be a leader in the Church of the Living God. And as a result, Paul told Timothy here that he had written some things to him so that he would know how that he ought to behave himself in the house of God. But he adds some extra clarification about this. It's not just the house of God. It is the church of the living God. Now, can I just sidetrack here? Don't leave here and call your church something other than a church. It's a church. Call your auditorium a church. Make everything about your ministry surrounded around the word church. Assembly's okay, but church says something more. It clarifies that even a little bit more. So there's some things that I want you to look at, and I want us to go back to the first part of the chapter. First of all, I want you to behave yourself in your relationships. One of the areas that can get you in trouble in the ministry more than anything else is in your relationships with other folks. And I believe that Paul has given Timothy some very, very wise advice here. The first thing he mentions it to him is that serving the Lord in leadership in the Church of the Living God is a good work. Now, you're going to get involved with folks in your church, and you're going to have difficulties in your church, and it's going to seem like sometimes that it's not a good work. The Church of the Living God is a good work on bad days when you've got to deal with bad problems. It's still a good work. In verse 1, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth what? A good work. Now, there are some days in the ministry that it has not seemed like a good work. But it is those difficult days that are going to make the good days really good days. And it's always a good work. Now, the ultimate goal of anyone that's in the work of the ministry is to be a good minister in a good work. Now, ladies, I know that you're not going to be standing up and preaching, but as you marry some of these young fellas, you're going to be a vital part of his ministry, whether it's a good work or not. So I want you to listen to these things as well today. Let's go on down to verse 2. Serving the Lord and the Church of the Living God demands good behavior. Look at verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of how many wives? One wife. Vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. And I just want to take each one of these words for a few minutes this morning and emphasize the good behavior. The first one is to be blameless. Now, everyone in your church knows you're not sinless, but you need to be blameless. Now, blameless is when you sin, you deal with your sin, you handle your sin with God, and you handle your sin with man, those that it affects. And when you do that, you will be blameless. Now, I want to encourage you to be careful of the use of all of the technology that's available to you as a pastor today. Cell phones are wonderful tools. They are will help you to be very useful in the ministry. But I want to caution you to be careful about your texting on your cell phones. Be careful about your cell phones. Just recently in our city, the principal of a Christian school has been caught texting inappropriate things to an 18-year-old in high school and has had to resign. Now, is that good behavior or bad behavior? I was listening on the news this morning, Fox News, of course. I was listening to that this morning, and they were talking about how that a judge was able to issue an order and go back and get the text messages of an individual that had been sending them out. What you text can be collected. You better be careful. Be careful about the internet. I've heard so much about Facebook in recent years and all, and I know many of you are on Facebook here, but be careful what you put out there. You know, I'm reading missionaries and different folks. They're my friends and all. They're writing me, and, you know, when somebody says, what's your favorite song? I'm thinking Amazing Grace. Oh, how I love Jesus, and it amazes me what Christian workers are putting out there as their favorite music. Many of them, it's not even a Christian song. It amazes me the favorite movies that believers, you know, that's not hidden from folks. The whole thing for that is that people can see who you are. Oh, how you need to be careful about those things. You need to be blameless about what you put out there. And then ladies and gentlemen, fellas, be a good husband to your wife for a lifetime. Just plan now that you're going to be married for a lifetime. Your wife is your first ministry, fellas. She is your first ministry. And the rest of your ministry is going to depend on your ministry to your wife. Thank God for my wife. The testimony that she's been through the years and the family that she came from. I was so picky I had to go to Canada to find a wife. I married a Canadian. I am thankful for the wife that I have. Ladies, you can make your husband's ministry. You can make it. You can compliment his preaching, and I know sometimes you're not going to be quite able to tell the truth sometimes about some of his messages. Just tell him, I've never heard one like that before, and you'll be fine. Be careful while he's preaching about telling him to straighten up his tie and to comb his hair. Don't distract him. Let him preach, and then get after him after church about those things. You can make your husband's ministry, and you can break it. How many young men are not doing God's will for their lives today because their wives won't support them? You know, just like Adam yielded to the desires of Eve, your husband could yield to your desires instead of doing God's will for his life. You can make or break his ministry. Now, men, behave yourself in your relationship with your wife. God instituted marriage before he instituted the church. And you need to keep your marriage relationship in a right perspective. Be kind to your wife. Oh, there's going to be days you're going to have differences and you're going to disagree about some things, but be kind in your disagreement as well. The next thing, not only be a good husband, be vigilant. Be vigilant. When I think of this verse, I think of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And I really want you to think with me about this for a few minutes, and I'm going to try to give you an illustration that I think will help. I want you to picture a fence, a chain link fence. I want you to picture a Doberman pincher on this side of the fence, and a bulldog on this side of the fence. And then I want you to picture a cat walking on that fence. Now, if you have a hard time understanding circumspectly, that cat does not. He's going to make sure that every step he takes is a step that's going to keep him in balance. To not take the right step is doom over here, and to not take the right step is doom over here. In the ministry, you need to be vigilant. You need to behave yourself. You need to watch every step you make. And I encourage my assistant pastor and deacons that when we are making decisions and we're making new steps, we just don't need to think about that step that we're making right now. We need to think about the consequences of that step when we make it. And not only do we need to think about that step, we've got to think about the next step that we're going to take and how we're going to respond if it's not received in a kindly fashion. You must be vigilant. Learn to think ahead of your actions. If we would think ahead of our actions, we would behave ourselves a whole lot better. Fellas, when you're tempted to sin, think ahead of that step that you're going to take. When there's a young, attractive woman in your church, think ahead of yourself to where that can lead you. You must be careful. Be vigilant. The next thing, be sober. Just simply practice self-control. And while you've been here in college, everyone's been helping control you. I imagine there's a certain time you need to go to bed. There's a certain time you need to get up. There's classes that you need to be at certain times. The school has even told you what kind of behavior they expect out of you. When you get out of here, you're going to have to practice something that you haven't had to practice a whole lot here. Is you're going to be out there, and now you're the one that's got to police yourself. You're the one that's going to have to control yourself. I hear this often. All the church wants to do is to control your life and to control your money. And generally, anybody that makes that kind of statement is not controlling their life and is not giving very much money to the church. What we're after is not controlling your life as a church or as a school, but to teach you self-control, to learn to control yourself. You must now go out of here and control yourself. Those of you going out as missionaries on deputation, nobody's going to be with you in your car to make sure that you're doing the right things as you're on deputation. You're going to have to control yourself. Those of you that are going out into an evangelism and you're out with your wife and just the two of you for a few years until God blesses you with children, you're going to have to monitor yourself. You're going to have to control yourself. Those of you going out into the pastorate, you're going to have to control yourself. If you'll control yourself, nobody else in the church will have to do that. Be sober. Self-control is the meaning of sober. You're heading out, and you need to learn to control yourself. You will not behave yourself in the church of the living God like you ought to if you do not have self-control. You must practice it. The next thing he says, Timothy, be hospitable. Hospitality. It amazes me, these pastors that I get around who talk about how horrible their people are, that they have the meanest group of people in the world. It might be that group of people has one of the meanest pastors in the world. You must learn to love to be around people. A shepherd is always with his sheep, even the ones that are infested with ticks. He pulls the ticks off of them. The ones that get cast down and can't stand back up, he patiently picks them up and stands them up and holds them till they can stand on their own 2 feet, their own 4 feet again. You must learn to love being around people. Now, I will admit to you, there are some people I love being around more than others. But learn to love to be around people. I have a lady in our church, and her husband doesn't come to church like he ought to. And she's come in and talked to me often. And she wouldn't mind me telling you this. She says, I sure do love my husband, but I don't like him a lot. Listen, you might not like the way some folks are, but you need to learn to love them. You need to want to be around them. If you seclude yourself and your family from others, you're going to have a very little ministry. Avoiding people is misbehavior, is what Paul is telling Timothy. You'll never win a soul to Christ that you don't get involved with. You'll never teach someone how to serve the Lord if you don't get involved with them. You'll never produce other preachers if you don't get involved with these young men. Ladies, you'll never produce other preachers' wives unless you get involved with folks. Be hospitable. Hey, as pastor, my folks in our church know that I'm not going to ask them to do a task that I'm not willing to do myself. They know that if I ask them to house folks, I'm going to be housing somebody as well. They know that if I'm going to be, that I ask them to go out and visit, I'm going to be visiting as well. Be hospitable. The next thing, be an example of teaching other believers. Some of you might be thinking, man, I'm glad all of my learning is done. I've got bad news for you. It's just beginning. The toughest school at all is what you're entering into right now. Life is all about learning and teaching. The greatest education I got was not when I graduated from college, but when I got out and worked in the ministry under a 78-year-old man and worked with him until he was 85 years of age. He taught me things. I learned things. He seemed gruff at the time, but I learned a lot from him that has kept me in the ministry at the same church for over 22 years. If you're going to accomplish something for God, you know, just go find a community that needs a church and start one. If you've got to work, work. But go start one. If you're looking around for a church of 500 to take, there's not going to be a whole lot of them with a nice house and a nice car and all these things. That's not going to be available. But there are a whole lot of communities that you can go start a church in. Life is an example of teaching other believers. By the way, can I emphasize to you that your teaching ministry is not limited to the pulpit and the Sunday school lectern? You're teaching men when you're mowing with them. I found out I've learned more about the men of my church by going on a fishing trip with them than talking to them any other time. Somebody in your church says, let's go fishing. You're going to learn a lot about them on that fishing trip. Go and learn something about them. So behave yourself in your relationships. Must move on. Behave yourself in your attitudes. Verse 3. Not given to wine. I hope that's not the case with anybody in here. It doesn't matter who writes books about wine. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ never produced alcoholic wine. And by the way, if alcoholic wine was what was supposed to be used in a communion service, why do we use unleavened bread? It's not pure. Not given to wine. Stay away from it, fellas. I'm not saying this to brag, but I can tell you that there has been no alcohol that has ever touched my lips. I wish I could say it about many others, but like I said, I was scared to death of my parents. I was scared of God and what He might do, but I did have an opportunity as a young fella where some friends that I went to school with invited me to go to Pizza Hut and eat with them. And this was before you had to be 21 to drink. And they set that pitcher of beer down on the table and pushed it over towards me and told me I was going to drink it. One of my friends had come and picked me up and taken me out to eat, and I soon realized the very reason that they took me out was not to eat and have a good time, was to ruin my testimony. And I looked at my friend, and I said, Joey, you can either take me home now, or I'm going to call my parents to come get me and tell them what's going on. Listen, folks, you're going to have an opportunity to do wrong. You've got to determine ahead of time that you're not going to do it. Now, let's control your appetites. That's what this is. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Control your appetites. God's will is more important than your appetite for anything intoxicating. Now, I'm not talking about just drink. There's some other things that are intoxicating. Being a striker, striking out at people is intoxicating. Being greedy of money is intoxicating. Not being patient is intoxicating. Being a brawler and covetous, all of those things are intoxicating. An appetite for money and things is extremely addicting. Let me give you a little piece of advice. Don't get yourself in so much debt as soon as you get out of school that you can't do God's will when He calls you. Amen. Uncontrolled appetites will lead to uncontrolled actions. Had a pastor come into my office just about 3 or 4 months ago, younger fella. He was really upset that they weren't going to give him the amount of money that he needed for his family, to take care of his family and his church. And I asked him, I said, well, what is it that, how much do you need? And he told me, and I was shocked, that was much more than Pastor Paul or I were even making. And he's been at this church 1 year. And I love the fellow, so I asked him, I said, what is more important to you, God's will or this? Well, these people, they just don't want to look after me. I said, I think you need to readjust some things you're doing. Be really careful about your appetite for things. Control your actions. Control your appetite. Control your actions. You know, I still don't understand all of these meetings that I go to where I hear about how horrible deacons are. Some of my deacons and I have had some differences on things. But I believe I have the 5 best deacons that any church can have. And when I ask them what they think, I really mean it. I have one deacon that has served, and our deacons go on and they're on for 3 years. They rotate off for 1 year, and then they can come back on and serve again. And there's one deacon that I know, if his head tilts like that just a little bit, he has a question about what we're doing. I don't ignore it. I said, Brother Steve, what are you thinking? And he'll tell me. Control your actions. You don't need to be in a fight with people in your church. You don't need to be in a fight with your deacons. If you'll control your appetite for things, you might find out that your responsibilities with your deacons and everything else flow a whole lot better. Don't try to live way above your people. Behave yourself in your attitudes. Behave yourself in your home. 1 Timothy 3, 4 through 5. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Listen to this. What Paul told Timothy, for if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And let me include the phrase that we just read later in the chapter, the church of the living God. Behave yourself in your home. If your home is a disaster, your church will be too. It's getting kind of quiet in here like it does at church at home. We must be vitally interested in our home. We must be vitally interested in our home being a great ministry. I tell every man in our church, you're the pastor of your home. You're the shepherd of your home. The next thing, behave yourself in your aspirations. Verse 6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Even though you may not be a novice and you've been saved for a while, don't act like one. You can learn some things from church members. I've learned through the years that if there's somebody more talented in a particular area than I am, I need to listen to them. Now, we have a CPA in our church. Praise the Lord, we have a CPA in our church who came into our church about 3 years ago. And when he came in, I said, "You're an answer to prayer." I said, "I need you to look over some things for us and advise us what to do." Well, after he started advising us what to do, I didn't like it. But I realized I wasn't the expert in that field. And, oh, we've made some changes, and I've gone into them kicking and screaming just about. But we've made changes, and we've done it because I knew in that particular area, I'm the novice, he's the expert. And he knows what needs to be done. If God gives you talented people in your church, they're there for a reason. It's not just to fill a pew. They're there to help you. Behave yourself in your aspirations. You know, there's been many times that when our church was small, I remember going to Pastor Bill Wingard one time, so discouraged after 2 years. We started with 12 people, and we'd only gotten up to 24 people in a year or two. I went to Pastor Wingard, and I said, "I'm so discouraged. I don't know what to do. I think I'm about ready to quit." Pastor Wingard looked at me and said, "What are you going to quit for? You can say something I can't say." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "You've doubled your attendance." Just that statement kept me there at least one more year until we doubled our attendance again. And then God has blessed on down through the years. Really important, behave yourself in the world. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and snare of the devil. Behave yourself in your community. You've got to behave yourself at church, but you've got to behave yourself at Walmart. Now, this is from personal experience. I've been witnessing and talking to the cashiers at Walmart for years, to the point now that cashiers will ask for one of our church cards or a track or something that we have at Walmart. But you know, sometimes they overcharge me. Now, when somebody overcharges you for an item, behave yourself as you deal with it. You can't throw off the responsibility and the title of being a pastor, which is the best title anybody can ever have in the world. You can't throw that off just because somebody's overcharged you and throw a fit there in Walmart. Now, when they undercharge you, be as quick to report that as well. What a testimony that leaves when you do that. My bank, I went into my bank one time and I said, "There's a $500 mistake in my account." "Oh no, we're sure we haven't made a mistake." I said, "Okay, I'll keep the money." Boy, they went to it real quick. You've got to learn to behave yourself. Hey, on hospital visitation, this is from personal experience. Twice this has happened to me. An attractive young nurse comes out and starts speaking to me. One time one asked me to lunch. And I quickly let both of them know that I'm happily married, and I got out as quick as I could. Plan ahead. We plan ahead for everything but sin. We buy life insurance. We buy health insurance. But we don't think very much about what's going to happen if we sin or we're placed in an opportunity to sin. How are we going to get out of it? When you go on visitation, always with another person. A woman comes dressed to the door in a way that is extremely inappropriate. Quickly say, "We'll come back and visit again another time." Don't hang around long enough to be tempted. Make arrangements to come back when the husband's at home. You're going to find yourself in awkward situations. Politely excuse yourself as quickly as possible. It's not time to preach a sermon. It's time to get away from the problem. Get out. You'll have plenty of opportunities to preach sermons to them if you can get them to church. And then always pay your personal bills on time. Make sure the church bills get paid on time. Poor financial testimony is not going to only be a hindrance to you personally and to your church, but it's going to get attributed to everybody else as well. Pay your bills on time. And then last thing I want you to see, behave yourself as an example of the truth of God. Look at verse 15 with me again. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of what? The truth. This Bible that you're holding in your lap this morning is the means of you behaving yourself well in the church of the living God. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 3 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord, of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life. The Bible tells us how not to be lazy. The Bible tells us how to be prosperous business people. The Bible tells us how to lead our churches right. The Bible tells us how to lead our homes right. The Bible tells us how to get along and to forgive other people. The Bible is a great instrument in everything that pertains to life. And not only everything that pertains to life, but the truth about godliness is found in the Bible. In verse 3 of 2 Peter 1, and godliness, all the things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Did you hear that? We can be partakers of what kind of nature? Divine nature. I would say that's pretty good behavior, wouldn't you? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through the lust. The answers to life, everything in life, the answers to everything about being godly and having good behavior in the church of the living God is found in the Word of God. Don't think because you're out of college that you don't have to study your Bible anymore. My Bible is more precious to me today than it was when I was a student. My Bible is more important to me today than it was 20 years ago. My Bible is more important to me today than it was last year. God's Word will teach us how to live life. God's Word will teach us to be godly. Verse 15 of 1 Timothy 3, again, as Paul admonishes Timothy, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. That ministry that God places you in is not yours. It is His. And you must behave yourself like He wants you to behave yourself. As you leave Ambassador Baptist College this weekend, I'm just curious, has anybody caught it? What are the two words that I want you to remember as you leave here? Can you tell me? Behave yourself. As you enter the ministry and the church of the living God. With heads bowed for just a moment. Young men that are going into the pastorate, youth pastorate, assistant pastor, missionary, evangelism. You ladies that are going to be marrying these men. I'm just curious, is there anybody with an uplifted hand this morning say, I am determined by the grace of God that I want to behave myself in the church of the living God? Would you just raise your hand as a testimony to that this morning? Amen. I pray that you will. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to express a few thoughts from the Word of God to these young folks that are entering out into your church, the church of the living God. Help them, protect them. Give them soberness. Give them vigilance. Give them a blameless life. Help them to love their wives, to love their husbands, to love their children, to love their church, their ministry that you place them in. And help them to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Help them, Lord, to make full proof of their ministry, understanding that they will stand before you one day and give an account of that ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.